Hi, this is Adam Carroll, host of the Build a Bigger Life podcast. In speaking and traveling all over the world, I meet some of the most interesting people. When I meet someone who embodies what it means to me to be the architect of their own life, I invite them to be on the show. The interview you're about to hear is one of these people, someone who's choosing life over lifestyle, pursuing more of what they love to do and less of what they have to do. The blueprint to get you doing more of what you love is available for download at buildabiggerlife.com. Now, on to the interview. Hey, Life Architects, Adam Carroll here with another episode of the Build a Bigger Life podcast. So glad you're with me, whether you are driving or running on your bike or at work. Welcome back. My guest today is Richie Crowley. This is a fun interview. If you are a professional hockey fan, you'll more than likely recognize his name. Ricky was a college standout hockey player that turned pro in his early 20s. And since leaving hockey, he is now focused on his wellness business called Wild But Well, which you'll find out all about in the interview. Richie's story is one I chose to feature on the podcast for a couple of reasons. First off, he's living a bigger life. It's albeit somewhat unconventional, but he's doing it with the sole purpose of making a difference for other people. And the second reason is Richie is about to embark on a bike ride across the U.S. from Boston to Los Angeles, unsupported, on a vegan diet, and creating events along his route to celebrate wellness, life, and fun. I think you'll love Richie as I did because of his unique philosophies on life and his take no prisoners attitude about doing what fires you up in life. His story really is one of challenging himself to always take it up a notch. And I was totally inspired at the end of our conversation. I hope you are too. So now here is Mr. Wild But Well himself, Mr. Richie Crowley. Super excited for my next guest on the Build a Bigger Life podcast, Richie Crowley. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to dive in here.
Dude, I'm excited too. You have a really, really cool story. I teased it a little bit in the intro. We'll get into your backstory. But first, I and my audience are dying to know, what do you love about your life right now?
Right now, it's the sovereignty that I have over it. It's being in control of the decisions, the choices, the actions, how I'm living every single day. Mm-hmm. There are parts of that where it's like, yeah, the buck stops here and you're responsible for everything. But if you start having like this growth mindset, it's like, I'm responsible for everything. I get to choose everything I get to do today. And it feels great to do that. You know, having been employed before and having to work for someone else, it's such a different freedom right now to have this autonomy over every minute of my day. And I'm more than getting used to it. It's like, I'm comfortable in it. I'm loving it. I'm starting to crave even more of it. It's awesome.
So pre-interview, we were talking a little bit about what you've been doing lately. And it sounds like you're a guy who has some very, my dog is shaking. Can you hear this in the background? You sound like a guy who has some very ritualistic patterns of your day. Would you say that's true?
Yes. Yeah, I think, and ritual is such a good word for it too, because routine seems a bit heavy and checklist is, I have such an admiration for checklists. I've read the Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande. He talks about pilots and heart surgeons, and it's incredibly important, but ritual has this idea of ceremony in your day. So for me, it's a lot about, okay, how can I be the best person? How can I be the best service to my dreams and others around me? So I know my morning is, it's quick, but it's not, and it's so attainable. It's, I sleep with my phone on airplane mode, just so when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I see is not missed text message, missed phone call, or email. Mm. It allows me to have the first actions of my day dedicated to myself. Those actions are normally about a 15-minute meditation, but even if it's 5 minutes, it's for me, as opposed to I'm responding to someone else and they're controlling my time.
Yep.
That's for me. It also involves tea. I'm a big tea guy. Water with a little bit of lemon in it. And then after that, taking an inventory of the day. Exercise and movement is part of the day, but if we look at like this micro morning, it is the phone remaining on airplane mode and taking those first moments of my day for myself. Yeah. And using meditation to ground me and then kickstart me through the rest of the day.
Would you say that wellness has always been important for you, or was that an awakening? Because I know your backstory was playing hockey and being a professional hockey player, but I see that like you're on the road, you're grabbing what you can.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine that's you're focused on wellness when you're getting chucked against the glass.
If you had asked me at 16, 18, 20, 22, and 24, every single time I would have said yes, but I've gained more education. And now as I look back, being 28, I wasn't well at 16. I wasn't well at 18 or at 20. I started embracing wellness around 24 before my final season. But you're right. It's bus trips and after a game, you're getting Domino's pizza. And then after a big workout, you're working out because you're saying the reward is going to be food. Oh, I'm going to get a massive ice cream sundae, and you're in college and we're going to party all night and we'll sweat it out in the morning, skate tomorrow. Or I'm going to eat whatever I want. Who cares about sleep? Oh, my mind's okay. If I have a headache, let me just take medicine and not look at the root of it. I thought I was healthy because I skated and worked out every day.
Yeah.
My flip has been, exercise is not the most important part of my wellness right now. And I'm now starting to understand wellness includes your relationships. Wellness includes your stress creation, your stress management. Wellness includes, yes, how you eat, how you're moving naturally during the day. It also includes how you speak to yourself. Like, these are parts of wellness that I now discover and I'm actively putting into my day and continue to grow on. So the reflection is, no, I wasn't well. I was successful athletically and successful academically and even successful professionally, but I'm so much more well right now. You know, it's like this idea that a spin class and a smoothie is healthy, and it's a vain version of wellness because it can adjust potentially what your body looks like. But true wellness is really like these 8 or 10 buckets that do include mind, relationships, community.
Yeah. So, there's almost a category of Instagram wellness, right?
Yeah. Like, oh my God. It's so true. It really is so true.
Yeah. Would you say that, I mean, the fact that you're sleeping with your phone on airplane mode, and I'm joking a little bit about the whole Instagram wellness. I have a lot of friends who are in the wellness industry and they're Instagram influencers and all that kind of stuff. But what is your stance on just unplugging completely, or maybe not completely, but unplugging?
It's so interesting because most of us now run brands and businesses on social, you know, LinkedIn, Medium, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. If you're not active there, are you non-existent? When someone wants to legitimize you, they hear your name or your brand, immediately they're like, oh, wow, they don't have an Instagram profile, or oh, they don't have any followers. I don't trust it. And unfortunately, like, we need to put up like these peacock feathers to say, yes, we have all this. We're here. We're continuing to post.
Yeah.
But unplugging is equally as important. I think you can be extremely efficient with your time, because if your goal is you write a new piece or you have a new podcast and you release it across 10 platforms, okay, focus for those 2 hours when you have your finished product, make sure it gets released, make sure everything's tagged, it's branded appropriately, then you get off and you go for your walk or you go for your ride or your meal with your family. But if you stay on and you're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, it's like, that's when it gets a little dangerous. So I'm fortunate that I enjoy bike rides, because it's a forced unplug. It's extremely dangerous to be
on your phone and
on biking. But even at night, it's nice. Like, I'll start the airplane mode probably about an hour before I go to bed.
Yep.
Because it forces me to do things that I enjoy, which is read a hardcover book, have an intimate conversation with a friend or with a partner. And that's important. Unplugging can even be as simple as when you're eating a meal do it as a designated meal place. You know, don't bring your phone. Don't bring the TV into the room and just be wolfing it down and watching the latest Game of Thrones episode. Like,
yeah,
introduce that ceremony and understand I am feeding myself right now. I'm nurturing myself. Check in with yourself. Those are ways to unplug that are incredibly important. And I'll add, there are times too when I'll have a meal and I'll put on a podcast and I feel like it's like, okay, I'm growing and I'm educating myself, and that's important too. So it's that balance of, am I unplugging when I'm doing that, or am I just becoming reliant on social media or another platform?
Right.
It's interesting, but the answer will be yes. Unplugging is incredibly important, and we don't need to be competitive with how much time we each unplug.
Yeah.
But beginning to confront it and say, I should probably unplug a little bit more, and then think of ways to include it in your day, is something I will advocate for.
I find that that a lot of people use it as mental chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Or I'm not, I'd rather not engage my brain in any kind of formal activity, so instead I'm going to scroll. And then that's when you like start going, oh gosh, everyone has a better life than I do. And that's where that, yeah.
It's so true, because it's, I don't want to put the blame on the application Instagram. I don't want to put it on the social network of Facebook. It's not their fault that they created something that is engaging. Yeah, maybe they have some tactics that make sure, like the casino mindset, like, hey, don't leave.
Yeah.
But it becomes this distraction, I think is the word you just said. And it's very true. It's like, oh, I can't sleep, rather than maybe read or like have some tea or really just like come into myself and breathe myself into sleep.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, let me see. It's on Instagram.
And
right. You start. And that's where it does get dangerous. We're all guilty of it. Like, I'm totally guilty of it. I sometimes say, like on a train ride, that I'm like, great, I'm going to unplug and get my work done. Then like 20 minutes into it, I find myself just mindlessly scrolling. And I'm like, I am wasting minutes of it feels like it. So we in a way need to cultivate that self-discipline for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it, being aware of it is the first step there. You know, if we're not even cognizant of it, it's even more dangerous and harmful to ourselves.
Agreed.
If you can be looking at it and be like, okay, what could I be doing instead? And like, I carry a backpack around with two books all the time, just to be like, read the book. I'm like, all right, read the book. And it's, sometimes those behavior patterns are hard to break and hard to form, but I'm proud that I'm aware of it and confronting it.
You should do that thing that they used to do in college where you would duct tape beer bottles to your hands. You should duct tape books to your hands. You have two books on, you know, one book on each hand. Turn the pages with your tongue or your nose or something, you know? Maybe like, have you seen
a real picture tonight of myself just with the book?
People around LA will be like, have you seen that dude riding his bike around town with two books taped to his hands?
That's how you build awareness.
No doubt, right? Richie, you have a brand called Wild But Well. We've talked about the wellness aspect of it a little bit. What is the wild side? Where did that come into play?
The wild part of it, wild is me. So I am the wild part of Wild But Well. And that comes from, in the past couple of years, I've made categorically unpopular decisions for a 25, 26, 27-year-old. You know, eating a plant-based diet, deciding to tell all your friends that you meditate when it wasn't cool, going sober, saying no to bachelor parties. All of these were actions and investments in my health and wellness. But being a 26-year-old sober vegan who was living at home with his parents to save money is not the coolest thing.
It's not super sexy. Is that what you're saying?
It's not at all. It's like, it's a great headline, but you just be like, oh, God. Oh. So it all sounds super restrictive when they're like, oh, you can't eat meat. You can't drink alcohol. You can't stay out past this time at night. And the truth was, okay, but I get to do all of these things. So the wild part of Wild But Well is you can still be well and be extremely fun and wild. And I think the energy and kind of charisma that I bring to the environments that I'm in are still some of the wildest ones out there. I just happen to be doing it now without any substance or without compromising any of my wellness.
Yeah.
So showing people that's like, you can still be the craziest motherfucker out there on stage, jumping around, going wild at a party, or going through the city, taking it by storm. And they're like, oh, but that's a really healthy dude. He's taking care of himself.
Yeah.
And that's like the fuel that allows me to then go even crazier and be even wilder. So
cool.
I want people to understand that it's not this restrictive state. Wellness is not a restrictive state. It's actually a state of abundance.
I saw this post that you had written about last year. I drank tequila.
Yeah.
And then I drank this, and then I drank that.
Another beer and a shot of this. Yeah, that was from the last time I drank was in 2016. So it's about a year and a half now. And it was a decision because I just started saying like, oh, I hate the hangovers. I'm not productive after I drink. I'll go out on a Thursday and then all I want to do on Friday is sleep or not work or wait to go out to the bar that night. I'm disengaged from my work. It started impacting a little bit of just like my confidence. Like I can take a place over sober, but it's easier with a drink in my hand. I was like, I should probably confront that. You know, I don't want to be masking who I am.
Right.
So yeah, I wrote that article on the 1 year anniversary just to let people know that, hey, you can be 27 years old and you can make this type of choice and you don't have to carry a stigma. Because most people, when I said, hey, I'm sober, I don't drink, they're like, ooh, can I ask, like, what happened? And I'm like, nothing happened. Like, nothing horrible happened, thank God. You know, like,
it's funny. It's like when someone, you're at a pizza place and you're like, I'll do a gluten-free crust. And they go, preference or allergy? You know, no one says that with alcohol, that you go, I'm sober. They assume that it's probably,
they're like, oh my God.
Raging alcoholic. Or he was
crazy alcoholic. Yeah. God, he must have done some damage.
Right.
And like, I won't be naive. Yeah, there were definitely times when I've misused alcohol. Like when you drink way past what you should be drinking because that's too fun, right?
Yeah.
And I was no longer in a state to say, oh, it's just too fun. I was like, I probably just shouldn't be doing that. I don't want to be doing that. And this like elective sobriety, maybe it's a trend, maybe not, but the response has been pretty cool. A lot of private messages from individuals who are like, hey, can we talk about that? Because I hate that I have to go out and drink to watch a sports game. Like, I'm going to go watch the NHL playoffs at a dive bar down the street tonight. And I'm going to sit right at the bar and I'm going to have a couple ginger ales. And it's like, that's totally cool and fine with me to do. I don't need to have three beers to watch that game.
Yeah. I feel like that might be the next domain you buy, electivesobriety.com. You know, like teach people how to do this. I love that. Well, and part of the reason I find it's probably important that you've made that choice is you have some pretty big ambitions moving forward. And I want to move into this bike ride that you're planning.
Yeah.
And you told me a little bit about it, but I want you to go through it. You're going to ride from Boston to Los Angeles on your bike.
Yes. On two wheels, unassisted. So on July 20th this summer, I'm going to take the first pedal and I'm going to go for 87 days across the country. And I'm going to end at the Santa Monica Pier in Los Angeles. And it excites me and it also terrifies me. And I think those are the exact reasons why I need to do it. But I'm doing it for awareness. You know, there's the athletic accomplishment part of that, but that's not what's driving me. I'm taking a more of an artist approach in terms of what we're going to be creating on the ride, like original writings, curated playlists by recording artists, a portrait series of individuals that I meet along the way, as well as dance videos. So all of that will be the true expression of who I am. But I wanted to do the ride for two reasons. One, which is I believe there's a bit of a crowded space in wellness or just across platforms we use where, yes, I can create my content and, yes, I can speak here and appear here. But I was like, how do I separate myself from other people who are doing that same thing. You know, how do I create a wave of interest that maybe requires a little bit more of an investment than me and my computer and time at a coffee shop and a library? I was like, you know what? I want to think a little bit bigger. What can I do? It's like, you know what? If I really live this lifestyle and I believe that, you know, every day if we can be well by meditating, getting some good sleep, moving naturally, eating mostly plants, I was like, okay, let me prove this out in a larger capacity. I know. I'm going to ride my bike across the country and I'm going to do it every single day. And every single person that follows me or meets me is going to be like, okay, this dude's for real. And he's living this lifestyle. Well, he's thriving on this lifestyle. Maybe there's something to it. We're going to listen to him a little bit more. So there's that part of it. And we're also going to be having a community impact, which is partnering with a group. So rather than like individual contributions with money or a donation, we're going to be raising meals. So along the way, we'll be donating meals to organizations that are feeding the hungry across America. And that's just really cool as well.
This whole mission, Richie, I got to tell you, man, that the way you're going about it in terms of making it almost like an art installation too, of all the stuff you create on the back end, to me, the image that I'm getting is this is all the cool content you've created in the wake of this movement across the country. Yeah. It's very cool. How do people get involved or assist you, or like, what are the opportunities to participate?
So the opportunity, there's so many. There's the most impactful one will be when the link goes up with the way to donate one meal, two meal, or three meals, just to donate a couple meals. And it's one of the things where, like, we're not saying, hey, buy 100 meals. It's like, buy a meal, buy two meals. You know, it's going to be $10 or $12. Do that. Someone's going to get a great meal. Other ways, like, if people seriously want to, like, have some fun with it, we're going to be doing events every 2 weeks across the country. So Boston, New York, Cleveland, St. Louis, Denver, Vegas, and LA is where we have official branded events. We'll also be doing micro pop-ups like Dayton, Ohio, Columbus, Pittsburgh, New Haven. But those are going to be fun. So like in New York, we're going to be doing a one-hour scavenger hunt with a local brand. And that's totally open to the public. It's completely free because being wild but well, it needs to be accessible. Like you can just totally come to a park and have a 1 hour scavenger hunt with complete strangers and it's totally free. And like you're moving naturally. So we're doing some wild stuff like that, but when we officially launch this, we'll have the website will be up with the direct link to donate, but it's also going to be linking to the schedule. So people will be following along through like our social handles. I'll be putting out a newsletter as well as updating a daily diary on Medium, but it's going to be a complete invitation to anyone who wants to join, whether it be for one of the events, wants to be donating, or if someone's like, screw it, I'm going to take 3 days off and I'm going to ride with you, Rich. Great. Come on and let's do it. So I want it to be like that. And I believe that there's just going to be things that I can't even think of right now and can't create are going to happen on this ride. And it's the wild part. I'll share a fun one for in New York. So we're going to be doing that, the scavenger hunt, but there's also a friend of ours who's one of the like leading tattoo artists in America. And we're going to make it seem like it's unplanned, but I'm just going to like ride the bike right up to it, get off, go in, get a tattoo, hug her and head on out. And it's like doing stuff like that is where they're like, what is going on here? So I want people to see that side of it.
Yes.
That's still a bit wild. It's a bit crazy, you know?
I love it. I love it, man. I'm super excited to see what comes out of this because I can imagine following you on a YouTube channel where, you know, you're chronicling every day as an example.
Yeah. Me too. I'm extremely excited. Like, I think there's the personal part of it where it's like, I want this to be a stake in the ground where I'm establishing myself further in the wellness community in just like idea generation, community and concepts.
Yep.
But from like a human and just like what's going to come from there, or I'm riding across the country and, you know, going through different states, places that I haven't interacted with people yet, but leading with this kindness and then writing about it or taking pictures about it or dancing in these different communities. I want it to, essentially, if I was going to have a party, I would want everyone to be invited to this party.
Yes. And
to be just talking about things that are not necessarily work-related, not political, not religious, just like, wearing gold hearts, and everyone's just like, hey, I want to give you a hug. Yes, I'm an empathetic person. Oh, you're a compassionate person. I'm kind. I care about others. And like that type of party, and that's what this community is going to look like.
That sounds very cool. This, you have, I want to get into like logistics of this, because I know that people's minds are probably going to, how do you even do this over how long a period of time? So it's got to be well over 3,000 miles, right?
Yeah, it's on the short end, it will be 3,603 miles.
Okay.
If I don't screw anything up. On the long end, it'll probably be about 3,800 to 3,900 miles. Right now, where it would change is when I hit Denver. If I, looking at weather or routes, if I decide to go north above the Rockies and through Utah and down onto Vegas, or my original plan, which is to go south, Colorado Springs, Arizona, New Mexico, and then jump into Vegas there.
Yep.
That could add a little bit of distance on the mileage. But how I've mapped it out, so I'll be doing a range of 45 to 55 miles a day. There's maybe 4 or 5 days where I have to pump out 60 to 70.
Yep.
But those are also, before that, a 30-mile day or something. So it's, sure, it's evened out.
There's some climb in there too, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to do some serious elevation.
Yeah, there is. There's a little bit in – so it's Boston to New York is pretty much on the coast, pretty flat.
Yep.
New York through Jersey into eastern Pennsylvania, flat. There's some hill through Pennsylvania and Ohio. Then kind of the Midwest is, again, suburban flat. Kansas looks pretty flat. I may be surprised there. But once I hit Denver to L.A., there's just a lot of hills. There's a lot. There's no way around it. You just kind of got to go through it. And that's probably the last leg of the journey, too. So it's...
You'll be super strong by then, dude. Super strong.
So, and I'll know. I'll be much more educated.
Yes.
On maybe what I can and can't do during the day. But the cool thing about every hill is once you climb it, you get to cruise down it.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
You're going to plan those right.
That's awesome. And you're going to do this entire thing on a plant-based diet.
Yes.
What does that include?
So in terms of, like, I'm not going to even have much packaged product. There'll be some that I'll be carrying with me in like side saddle bags. But it's a lot of fruits. Dates are a savior. Dates and cashew trail mix bags that making myself are saviors. When I have the ability to go to a vegan restaurant, I'll go there. But most restaurants will cook rice, beans, and vegetables. There'll be a lot of canned beans straight out of the can. So right now, the difficulty is training like that because I make smoothies after every ride now.
And sure.
I'm not going to be able to get blended carrot, cucumber, celery, blueberry, cherry smoothies every day. So it's the produce section in a grocery store. Like, I can live off of that. You know, I know what foods my body reacts to. I know apples and oranges are great for me. I know bananas during a ride, after a ride. And I'll be going through enough major cities that there'll be, you know, the Whole Foods hot bar that I'll be able to pop into.
Yep.
I'll then rely on, there are some companies that make really clean bars that when I get in a bind, just like put 10 of them in the bag and understand the next 2 days are going to be a pretty dull diet of bars.
Yes. Yes. This is interesting. Why dates? You say dates are really good for you.
So like the nutritional part of it, like the calorie and the fiber is huge. But also, I go a lot off of how my body feels on it. So the sugar that's in the date, when I'd get like hypoglycemic on a ride and just need a little bit of a kick, previously I would use Skittles, but the absorption of the sugars that are in a date are a bit better. They're thick. You can dip them in peanut butter as well, which is that's a meal. Like if I have a jar of peanut butter and a bunch of dates, that's a meal for me. I can be eating that, and I've trained on that, and I know I can do it.
So I'm pretty sure Skittles are not plant-based. I'm almost positive. I have to check the ingredient list.
That was when I first started riding, my dad would always have Skittles with him. And he'd be like, yeah, just do Skittles. But I'm strict in not putting Skittles on the diet right now.
That's funny. You made a comment pre-interview, and I want to like kind of bring this to a close. Dude, I find you so interesting, and what you're doing is really fascinating. You are like a perfect example of a life architect, because you set in mind these things that you want to go do, and then you go do them. Mm-hmm. And it feels like there's not a lot that's getting in your way. You made a comment about self-development and when you can actualize something and just lay out the path, that it's fairly easy to complete it. Will you speak to that a little bit?
Definitely. So there was a time when like I'd have ideas and dreams and write them in a notebook and put them away and never act on them. Part of it was a fear, you know, a fear of failure, fear of not making it happen, public embarrassment. The other reason why I didn't was I didn't know how to. And skills that I've learned over is that we can do anything. Like it's a real truth. Like we can do anything. We may not be able to do it as fast as someone else. You know, I may not be able to build that company in 1 year that someone else could, but I can do it. And strategy and like a tactical approach to how we do things is huge. You know, it's taking that step back and saying, okay, here's my goal. Here's where I want to be. How do I get there if I'm down here? And it's not going to always be this linear path, but by creating the strategy and, you know, knocking out one thing at a time, little by little, understanding where you may need help, owning that ask for help, raising your hand and saying, I need some help. Your network is going to help you. Your community is going to help you. They're not going to swoop in like a hawk and steal your idea from you and kick you out. It's like people want to support you. So the belief part of it that you can do it and not just being like, oh, I think I can do this. Like knowing you can do anything, like I can do anything, may be the most important thing, because then you have this confidence like, oh, this is going to happen. Yep. It's going to happen. I'm going to ride my bike across the country. I know that's a fact. I'm going to leave Boston. I'm going to arrive in Santa Monica on my bicycle. I don't know the shape I'm going to be in, the condition. Maybe I'll get injured. Maybe it'll take longer, but I know I can ride across the country.
Yep.
Now that that's settled, let me go into my planning mode. Let me see where I need help or what I need to do. And that same kind of blueprint can be adapted for so many different things. It can be a small one-day plan. It can be a five-year plan. It can be saving money. It can be building company. It can be relationship. But that self-belief then takes away any like confidence or self-esteem part, because like, hey, I know this is happening. And speaking to yourself in that language is so important. And then there's like the other little strategies involved. Like I'm such a proponent for asking for help. There was a time when I hid everything and wouldn't ask for help and was stubborn. And actually I'll credit my partner for kind of being like, hey, you know what? Tell someone your idea there. Like see if maybe they have some ideas, help you out a little. And it's now been my favorite thing to just like cold email someone or message someone on LinkedIn, but hey, do you have 5 minutes? I just want to share an idea I'm working on. Would love your advice.
Yeah.
Or hear your thoughts. And I'm like, wow, how am I not paying for this? Like you're just going to call for me for 30 minutes and like, just say, hey, yeah, think about this or try this. It's been such an education.
I have this strategy that it may be helpful. If nothing else, our listeners will get use out of it, but that every one of us should have a power 100 list.
Okay.
And these are the 100 people in our life that like, love, and respect us that we could reach out to at any time and ask for a favor and they would do it. You know, like these are the people that when you're moving, you call them and they would help you move.
That's an incredible idea.
So I feel like if you were to create the power 100 list and say, this is what I'm doing, I just need people along the way to help me with X, Y, and Z. And I'm really looking for whether it's one-on-one help or ideas or introductions, they would jump in.
These are your champions.
These are your champions. They're your, You know, like I crowdfunded a documentary on student loan debt, and we raised $67,000 in 45 days with 400 backers. Many of them came from my Power 100.
Power 100, then sharing it with other people and saying
yes
to their Power 100 people. Yep. Were like, hey, you got to check this out. Support yep. it.
Exactly.
That's the, oh my God. Yeah.
I might, you know, it's like the
one of my Google Sheets, my Power 100, and start building that.
Yeah, dude, I'm serious. And then, you know, plug it into MailChimp and send one email out to all 100 people. And then see what kind of help they can offer.
Do you keep a larger contact list as well?
I do. Yeah, I've got a mass. I mean, I've got mine kind of segmented in a number of different lists, but I've got a Power 100, which is now about 280, and then I've got a mass list of, you know, 15,000 or something like that that I email to. But yeah, you are so close to having all of it locked in. One of my questions for you, Richie, is do you think that setting the date of July 20th was instrumental for you in the, okay, yeah. Now, like that whole idea of belief is one thing, but then when you go, and this is when the marathon I'm running is, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
so now I'm training for it.
Yeah. It was one of the first things I did. It was because if not, it's then, oh, it'll be the next week in July. Oh, the week after that. And then it's, ooh, it's going to be too cold to ride in November or September. I'll just do it next year. So that date and speaking about it too and saying, it's like, hey, this is real. This is happening. Now I'm mentally preparing. It's like, no matter what happens between today and July 20th, I know that at noon on July 20th, I'm getting on the bike. And I'm getting pedaled out of town and I'm waving goodbye to people and I'm riding to California. And that's the truth. So like without it, I don't know if it would happen. It's so important.
That's awesome. You're going to do it. I have no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. One of the things you talk about in terms of belief that triggers for me is the idea of definiteness of purpose. Mm-hmm. From the book Think and Grow Rich, that the whole idea is that when you have definiteness of purpose, you will execute on that thing. So the idea of being, I'm sober and I've elected to be that way. There is definiteness of purpose in that, right? Not like, oh yeah, I'm trying to not drink anymore. Probably would not be as effective.
Yeah, it's like a commitment in a way, like a commitment to yourself that's who you want to be or what you want to be doing.
Yep.
And without those, it's in a way it becomes like a lawless life or a lawless relationship with yourself where things will just continue to slip. And after years or something, when something has yet to be achieved, it's because of that, you know, you haven't committed to that. So there's the practices of defining who you are. Is another one. Like if say I want to be a photographer, and when people ask me what I do, I tell them a couple different things. I say I take pictures. The difference there is you're not committing to being that photographer. Hey, I don't care if you've never sold a photo. I don't care if you've never taken a picture off of your iPhone. If you in your mind believe, hey, I'm going to become a photographer, start saying it. Commit there. You are a photographer. You've kind of drawn that line in the sand. I'm a photographer. So I think that's in similar line of thinking as that.
Totally. I have two final questions for you. The first one is, if people want to follow you, how do they do it? Where can they find you?
So Instagram and Medium are where I think I invest the most amount of my time. And that's, I have a handle called Ricky Tickles, and it's that same one on Medium as well. I'm beginning to get more active on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah.
And then there's also Wild But Well. Wild But Well is where we have the more wellness specific pieces. But my Instagram is probably my most active, and all my writings are up on Medium. And that's, I'm so proud of the Medium part of it. Like last summer, I said I wanted to start a newsletter. And the process of doing it was I put up an Instagram poll And I said, if I wrote a newsletter to you guys every 2 weeks, would you want to read it? Click yes or no. Luckily, 280 people said yes. I went through and I direct messaged every single one of them. And I said, wow. What's your email address? Thank you for wanting to read it. What's your email address? I'll send the first one in 2 weeks. Then took all those email addresses and it's like that. Then it started. And now I've been able to transfer that over to Medium and continue writing there. And that's going back to like the last question. I was like, I wanted to be someone who had a newsletter. Yeah. It didn't need to be 10 people. It didn't need to be 10,000. I know I wanted a newsletter.
Yeah.
I committed to it. And then it's like the strategy of like, all right, how do I build this? How do I build this newsletter list? You figuring out ways to do it.
It's awesome.
So yeah, Medium and Instagram are definitely the two biggest right now. And on this ride, I'll start, the YouTube channel will grow. Facebook will grow. Strava will grow.
Yep.
Really make sure I hit every single corner of the internet.
It's awesome. It's awesome, man. Last question is this. What does building a bigger life mean to you?
Wow. For me, in a way, it's more of the same with in terms of the sovereignty and autonomy of my life, but it's inviting more people into it. It's building a bigger life for me means more seats at a dinner table, more people coming to a party, more people on my Power 100, more people I can call and text every day. It's like more people in my tribe is building it. But that's specific to me. Like that's probably my highest held value is just humans, relationships, and that community, sometimes to a fault. But yeah, if I can get more people that are on the same vibration, I got time for those conversations, those dinners, those people any single day.
Very cool. Well, let that be the final word, man. You're an inspiring human, and I have no doubt that people are going to follow you. I wish your bike ride went through Iowa.
I wonder, I was a bit above Kansas
yep.
and a bit above Missouri, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's not, I'm going pretty much straight down after Cleveland to try to get St. Louis is on kind of more the bottom part of that state. And then
going
west from there. So I'm right now I'm avoiding Iowa, but if things change, I'll let you know. But also, do you have a bike?
Not yet, but you're inspiring me. I may have a bike by then. What I will say is I've got friends in KC, so maybe Kansas City is the place to be, and we'll try and make something happen when you're there.
Oh, definitely.
So I love it, man. This has been awesome, Richie. Thank you for the time. Good luck on the adventure. And let's definitely stay connected while you're on it. It'd be cool to have you come back on the show maybe in like, September, August, September, somewhere in there. That would be fantastic.
September will be probably when I'm at the scariest part, which is those 3 weeks in Kansas.
That's what I want you.
That's like, I'll have tears, dirt on the face, but...
Yes.
Yeah, that's the part of it that I'm like, oh, geez. But I love it too. That's
cool.
That's why I need to do it.
Yes. Know? Dude, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Talk soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. Every one of my interviewees has certain things in common, which I've summarized in the blueprint available at buildabiggerlife.com. It contains the 9 core tenets extracted from each of the past interviews and will get you started building your own version of a bigger life. If you liked what you heard on the show, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. Until next time.